Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Sally O'Cordy and welcome to Public Advocates. I don't know how many of you heard the autism hearings back in 2012 in November, but everyone was saying, where are the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated studies? And the CDC and the NIH were very forthcoming in saying they had not been conducted. Actually, they beat around the bush for a while and then said it. In response to Representative Bill Posey from Florida, his request, and I believe others mentioned it, or at least this has been a long-term quest. Where are these studies? Well, fortunately for me, before I went to Capitol Hill to meet with the Oversight Committee, I found an article by a gentleman by the name of Paul Sassa, and it is all about the study that has been conducted in Germany. And it says that basically up to five times as many diseases are in vaccinated children versus unvaccinated children. So that, of course, is a staggering thing to hear, but not for those who understand that vaccines are 100% poison and no good could possibly come of that. We have been blessed with the anthrax vaccine. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But when you're trying to explain to people that vaccines are poisonous and their intent is to cause the diseases they claim to prevent, et cetera, they have a hard time wrapping their minds around that. But thanks to the anthrax vaccine, that's all over. They're getting it. They're getting it right quick. Okay, well, I am going to pick up the gentleman who provided me with some terrific information to bring with me to Capitol Hill. He also wrote the very first article of Marianne Hollinsworth Green and I, Sally O'Cordy, started October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and Paul Sassa was kind enough to promote it in a very clever way, I might also add. Is this Paul Sassa?
Yes, this is Paul.
Is this the health maven, Paul Sassa?
Yeah, the health maven escaped from the medical mafia matrix.
Well, I see that you address so many different health concerns. I started to go through the many articles you've done, and if I wanted to know how to detox from chemtrails, I could look at your archive. If I wanted to know about the health implications of these mercury-filled light bulbs, I could go to your blog. So why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in this?
Well, it was when I was living in Mexico a few years ago. I realized I needed to make a little bit more money and started writing articles and found myself getting very interested in matters having to do with health, especially when I started seeing the absolute opposite of what we were being told and what we were raised to believe. Cancer was my main thrust, and then vaccinations. I mean, I was around in the 40s. I got my smallpox vaccination when I was a kid in first grade. I think it was 1948. Anyway, that was pretty much it. I think in the service I got, they forced us to get a polio vaccination. I managed to survive those. I do believe I got the chickenpox as a result of the booster for the smallpox vaccination. But I grew up without getting a bunch of vaccinations, and now they're going crazy about vaccinations. And then I found out about a guy by the name of Dr. Russell Blaylock. You familiar with him?
Very familiar.
Okay, I thought you would be. Anyway, I started reading some of his information, and then I started working for National News along the way, and discovered more information and just kept following up on it. And I was just appalled by the way vaccinations were being sold, being enforced, and being increased, and seeing the reaction some people were having and how it was swept under the rug. So that's that area of the vaccine industry that I explored. that's about it. So here I am.
Well, I really valued that not only did you bring forth that you know, Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and that it was a worthy thing to bring attention to, but that simultaneously, October is also, we just got through April Autism Awareness Month, so you can see where I kind of screwed that up. But nonetheless, October is also a Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I just passed a huge 18-wheeler on the highway the other day with a pink ribbon for breast cancer on the door. Would you please explain to people what's going on with breast cancer?
Well, what's going on with breast cancer is the usual, where the mainstream medical industry, especially the cancer industry, that's probably the worst aspect of mainstream medicine, refuses to acknowledge any other attempt to cure cancer except the old slash, burn, and poison, which is slashes operate and or remove, and burn is irradiation, and then poison is chemo. And chemo is used a lot, and chemo is poison. So, you know, let's get into something, a matter of logic here. How does someone whose immune system has been decreased to the point of being able to have cancer and cancer spreading going to benefit by having poison administered to him? So this is basically what they're stuck in. And Coleman, for the cure, is the Pink Ribbon Group. They're basically, what they have is another aspect of the cancer industry, which is big profits. Okay, it's a charity foundation, but charity foundations are allowed to, give salaries. The only thing that keeps them as a tax exempt group is they're not on the board. They're not being sold to the public and, you know, shares, et cetera, et cetera. So they're considered nonprofit, and but they can give huge salaries. And they do manage to get, they've got people out there believing in what they're doing. They're going around saying they're getting money for research, but all the research is focused into the same old stuff. They're not, and actually very little of that money goes to research. They're going around setting up mammograms for people, free mammograms. There's a lot of
research. What do mammograms do? There's more radiation.
They're more what?
The mammograms, they radiate your breasts.
Yeah,
and
not only that,
your breasts, so that if there is anything there, it explodes it.
Yeah, exactly. Mammograms. They keep pushing mammograms when thermography, if you want to have an early look at what's going on in any part of your body, thermography is a heck of a lot safer because it picks up. Basically, it's like a heat sensor, and it shows a display of different parts according to the heat that's being radiated. And from that, they have the science to figure out what's going on. It's not radiating anything, and it's not squeezing anything either. So that's completely ignored. They keep pushing mammograms. It's sort of like they're trying to get more people in to the cancer industry early. And then there's exploratory treatments or analysis and testing, et cetera, which takes more time and money and effort. So it keeps everybody in the cancer industry busy. Meanwhile, this Coleman Group, their top executives are making over $500,000 a year. So what is that all about?
Well, I tell you, I call it a for loss organization. We're so not for profit that we're for loss. But we basically, until I found out what this entire racket was between vaccines also give you cancer, there was a famous quote, I've never seen cancer in an unvaccinated person. Wow, there's a statement for you. Well, I used to do comedy shows at Sloan Kettering Cancer Hospital, and on the way in through the south entrance, engraved in stone, it said, "All who enter here shall abandon hope." And I thought, is this a joke? I'm supposed to be the comic coming here to cheer people up. Well, all I can say is this is such a racket. There's the Rockefeller Foundation, where they take your money for vaccines. There's the Sloan Kettering Memorial Cancer, where they take your money before they kill you with radiation. And it is such a racket. It is mind-boggling. And here I am offering cheer, producing endless comedy shows, all for free, and that may have been the only thing that improved them while they were there.
Well, you're probably right, and that really did say that. It's an awful interior of hands and
hope. There is a sign at Sloan Kettering Memorial Cancer Hospital that says, "All who enter shall abandon hope." And
wow.
I just was blown away by that. I thought, am I reading this correctly? Is this what I think it says? You know, I read it four or five times. I couldn't believe it.
That is amazing. Are you familiar with Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who's in New York City?
No, but it sounds like I might want to meet him.
Well, he's got have you ever heard of the dentist, Dr. Kelly, who was cured his own pancreatic cancer and started curing other people and devised a system of using metabolic enzymes and diet to cure people's cancer, and he was very successful, but of course he was attacked. Dr. Gonzalez was interning at Sloan Kettering, by the way. And
I said I might know him. I've spent so many hours there.
Well, yeah, he was interning there. He's basically, part of his internship was to check out to see what's going on. The person in charge of his internship was pretty fairly open-minded, actually, but usually a lot of alternative cancer treatments die on the altar of Sloan Kettering Hospital because they want to make sure there's nothing else but what they do. Or if there's something else, they get the patent rights to it. Anyway, he investigated Kelly in Texas and found out that what he was doing was working very, very, very well. And he was amazed, and he started picking up on how to do it himself. And he's basically refined it to the way he sees fit. And he's doing that in New York City, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. The other thing about him is he has a joke, okay? You talk about jokes in Sloan Kettering. He said there's a wall in Sloan Kettering where all these very wealthy people have contributed large donations to Sloan Kettering, and they're all relatives of people who died as a result of the treatment of cancer. And they call it the wall of the grateful dead. It was what the interns used as a joke there.
That's a good one. I like it. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're happy to lose somebody, you'll give any amount of money. No.
Right,
I don't know what to say. I mean, this is the whole thing is such a racket. It is just infuriating, isn't it? Because
it is.
They never talk about prevention. Heaven forfend, prevention should ever be an issue. But you certainly.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Let me interrupt you, Sally. That's a good point because that's another thing that Komen does not do. They don't put out anything about their idea of prevention is get your mammograms, you know. So and they're also involved somehow. I think GE makes mammograms. I don't know how they get some kind of a kickback from that affair. But that's their idea of prevention. But anyway, you're right. We're in the middle of a terrible racket, and it's getting worse, it seems.
Well, if I could get insurance to cover holistic healers, that would make Obamacare interesting to me, you know? I think you can pay not to be part of it, which just slays me, that you can pay not to be part of a program.
Yeah, right.
What a privilege.
Right.
But I know that I have the most expensive health care in the world, and the one doctor I was told might be the only one who could help me with my skin condition would not take my insurance. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm paying through the nose. I refuse to see doctors. I am finally broken down to see one, and he won't even take it. Then what he recommended, the pharmacy didn't better my insurance. Didn't cover it. I'm like, I am paying through the nose for insurance, I will never use if I am awake to say, no, don't bring me near a hospital, I will say, no, don't bring me near a hospital. I have just heard one horror story after the next, and I've experienced through my family just one horror story after the next. So I have no faith at all in this industry.
Yeah,
because
well,
it's an industry. It's not a profession. It's an industry.
Right. And it's for profit. It's not for healing. And that's really what it comes down to. And, sure, if you break a leg or get in an automobile accident and you're messed up, you're going to have some kind of surgical intervention, and that's fine. But the thing is, the worst part about this, what I call the medical mafia, because they operate like a mafia, is they won't allow options to exist. You know what I mean? That's the worst part.
I'm sorry. They won't allow options what?
To exist. They won't allow options, period. You know what I'm saying? They clamp down. They ruin people's lives, people who are honest and sincere and actually able to heal different things that they can't, and they ruin their lives. They destroy their lives. They've been known to come in with a successful FDA-sanctioned human-level experiment on, I forgot exactly what it was. But anyway, people were getting their cancer cured for low fees, And they got raided. This was in Tampa, Florida, a few years ago. They got raided, and people were coming out and saying, "You're through," pulling out their IVs, and these people who were dying were trying to demonstrate at City Hall and everything else, and several of them did die, and they were being healed in the process, and the whole program was shut down simply because the local oncologists were upset about it. They were losing business to them.
Well, didn't you have an article? I believe I saw among your articles that 75% of doctors do not accept the traditional. When I say traditional, I mean the hospital form of cancer treatment. They won't get radiated.
They won't do chemo. They won't do chemo. But they'll administer chemo. They won't do it though, and some of them wouldn't let a family member do it either. That was conducted at McGill University area, which is I think Ottawa, Canada. Anyway, that was a survey conducted in Canada that a lot of people like to point to, and because they see what they're doing to people, you know. What can you say?
Well, I know I was on New Year's Eve a couple of years ago. I was in Washington, and we were at a restaurant, and there was a man standing there with a little boy. And, of course, I'm always packing cards, and I say, "Please don't vaccinate that child." And he said, "I know all about that. I'm a pediatrician." And I said, "Oh, so your child isn't vaccinated?" He said, "Of course not." And I said, "And do you vaccinate other children?"
And?
Pregnant pause. That ended our conversation. Of
wow.
course not. Do you vaccinate other children? Dead silence. Oh, and I want to tell you one other thing about the cream for my skin that I paid for. The one time I went to a doctor, I said to him, I said, "Before I use this, please will you tell me what benefit, I said, the first ingredient in this cream is aluminum. What benefit will that Now, this is the guy, he's so good, he doesn't take insurance. He only takes cash. That's how good he is. And what benefit will aluminum have for my skin?" And there were three other doctors who were skin doctors in the room with him, and they all just sat, had their mouths like half open, like, So I didn't say anything. I just thought, let's see how long the silence can last.
That's a good one.
And
I like that.
And it went on. It dragged on ad infinitum, and I just wouldn't say anything. Eventually, I broke down, and I said, "Well, is there any cream that does not have aluminum?" And one of the doctors, very eager to get out of the room, went and said, "I'll look it up." And she came back, and she said, "No, there is no skin cream that I can prescribe without aluminum." And
wow. Wow.
And it was the first ingredient. It was the first ingredient.
Yeah, well, that helps you have neurological diseases earlier in life. That aluminum is good for that, that's for sure. You know, you had mentioned the article that you had regarding comparing and the epidemiological studies with vaccinated and unvaccinated kids, and a lot of people will look at that and debunk it as not scientific. I've got something for you right now that I'm looking at, an article I did back in August of 2012, and I called it the most damning vaccination study not publicly disclosed to date. It was done in Japan. It was peer-reviewed for the PLOS Plus One Open Journal back in 2009, actually. And originally covered by Heidi Stevenson on her Gaia Health blog. Anyway, listen. Let me give you what they did. They experimented with mice, and what they did was inject the mice with antigens. They were simulating vaccinations. Okay, and here's what they found out. This is their conclusion: systemic autoimmunity appears to be the inevitable consequence of overstimulating the host's immune system by repeated immunization with antigen to the levels that surpass system self-organized criticality. In other words, if you do it enough times, you've compromised that person's immune system, and he's going to be open to all sorts of autoimmune diseases, and that covers a very wide range from arthritis to Alzheimer's, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not talking about, you know, having a cytokine storm where a person all of a sudden has the paralysis or goes into what you call autism disorders, et cetera, et cetera. Those happen often, and they're very dramatic. But you go, and by the way, I think they found this out on the eighth injection. Now, how many times does a child, even before his immune system is developed, how many inoculations do they get if they go by the CDC recommended vaccine schedule? More than eight, that's for sure. So what's happening to all those people out there?
You know about the whole Heidi Stevenson is actually a Facebook friend of mine, and she really does great work. I have to say, I am so privileged to know all these journalists because they're making an immense difference. They are truly making the biggest difference. So you are among them. I'm telling you, if it weren't for your, you know, genuine dedication to revealing, you know, looking into finding these studies, we would have nothing but reality to go by. And for me, that was good enough. I actually wrote a bill called All Vaccines Are Banned, going, I mean, the kid was normal, and then he was vaccinated, and now he's retarded. Got it. Those vaccines have to go, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't really need much more than that, considering how many times the same story is repeated and repeated. I told someone, I met a woman the other day, literally I had been behind my computer for a week. Normally I talk to everyone I meet. So I'd been behind my computer for a week, and I stepped out to go to the pizza parlor, and the first woman I met, the only woman I talked to that night, has four autistic children, grandchildren out of five, you know, and I was determined not to talk to her. You know what I mean? I thought, I'm going to get my pizza and go back home, and she approached me and started to play with my hair. So, of course, we talk about vaccines because that's what I do, and lo and behold, weren't four out of her five grandchildren, and through all the disinformation, the fifth one was spared because they had stopped listening to the liars and decided to go with their own intuition about what was actually happening. But I wrote a bill, All Vaccines Are Banned, just on the stories of the people I met in the street. What's the matter with your kid? What happened? You know, it's kind of an outrageous thing to ask someone. But I came from a place of mental retardation in my family. And I was like, your kid reminds me of my sister. What went wrong? Was she ever normal? What went wrong? You know? So I just started taking these surveys in the streets to figure it out, because it frustrated me that I couldn't talk to my sister and that she didn't know I was her sister. That was like too far, you know, she'd have to be so much leagues more of this world than she was, you know, to know
mm-hmm.
that I was a sister person, not just
mm-hmm.
a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's ridiculous what they're doing, and what a miserable life. These children have all kinds of problems, and the reality of it was just flat out good enough for me. You mean that needle could turn a normal child with a promising future into my sister? Are you real?
Huh.
And nobody's
wow.
doing anything to stop this?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Well, you know, there's somebody wrote once that the biggest disease the world has is adhering to authority and blind adherence to authority. But let me quickly just go over the conclusion on this article, because I think this is pretty important, because there's a lot of people that want to green vaccines, take the poisons out, you know, the toxins that
they
are
would
there.
Have to completely empty the vaccines. There's nothing in there that's green.
Right. Well, yeah. That's why I say in this article that the study, see, in this study, this Japanese study, they weren't giving actual vaccines. They were giving antigens that would create an immune response, which is, you know, what they're supposed to do. And it's usually some kind of dead or alive virus that's been diminished greatly. But this basically saying that they still got the same readings. They were doing all kinds of protein studies and stuff like that. They got the same excuse me. They got the same readings. Just with that, they started happening. They started showing signs of being having their immune system challenged from the eighth injection of an antigen. And so I say at the end, this should put to rest the notion that greening vaccines, that is, removing or withholding vaccines' normal toxic additives, would make the childhood vaccination schedule of close to 40 vaccinations by 18 months of age more agreeable. And Kobe University in Japan, animal trials demonstrated how autoimmune reactions were created as a consequence of repeated antigen-only inoculations with long enough breaks between each injection to allow complete recoveries. They didn't just shoot them up all at once. So there you go. It's bad for you.
Sorry. Well, you used a lot of words with many syllables to get to that point.
Well, I was reading it. I was reading from my conclusion in the article.
I see. Oh, very good. I really should just have journalists on. That's what I should do from henceforth, because it's kind of like I always wanted to interview other interviewers because they have all that body of knowledge of everyone they've interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like cutting to the chase to interview just interviewers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but
well.
Anyway.
Why not? Listen, by the way.
I want to talk to you because you bravely stepped forward and mentioned the word chemtrails. You were talking
yes.
about detox. Would you kindly share some of the knowledge that you have in regard to detoxing from chemtrails?
Well, the detoxing from chemtrails, basically you've got some, even though aluminium, I like to pronounce it the way the British do, aluminium is a light metal. It's considered a heavy metal because it shouldn't be in your body. They have other items such as barium. I don't recall all of them offhand, but nevertheless.
Cesium is in there. And I always say, in terms of taking away our guns, they're going to take away our guns, so they don't actually have to do that. All they have to do is change the mix from aluminum, barium, cesium to nerve gas, and they'll achieve the same thing.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, Alex Jones here in Austin likes to say, they prefer the slow kill. It's less obvious, and it's more profitable. They're making money off a lot of this stuff. So to detox the effects of chemtrails, it's the same way you would do any other. Things like chlorella, let's see what else, cilantro, as far as the food items are concerned, any type of, what else? You know, I can't think off the top of my head right now. But any type of, huh?
Well, I just ran through all the titles. I personally didn't read each article, and I was hoping that you might have, you know, some good advice. I know Morgellons is, from what I understand, very painful. These fibers that are coming through people's skins.
Right.
That are a direct result of the chemtrails. From what I understand, we all have them in our body, and the people who are actually ejecting them are the lucky ones because they're leaving their bodies.
What?
The fibers that we are all inhaling.
Yes.
That are coming into our body. Some people, then those same fibers, which have life, they actually have a life. They're not stagnant things. They move. The ones that come through the pores of some people, which I understand is very painful, they are actually the lucky ones because they are the ones ejecting them.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, so there's any kind of safe chelation process that you can find online or that you can go to a holistic practitioner and undergo will help you get rid of not only stuff from chemtrails, but from just about anything, which we live in a very toxic world. So people should be avoiding processed foods, stay clear of GMOs, stay clear of processed foods and produce that's been heavily chemicalized. And eat organic foods as for a starter, and drink pure water, lots of pure water. That will help you develop a strong immune system to ward off this stuff. And then still, you have to do something about the stuff that's in there. There's chelators. There's a water. This is interesting for aluminium. There's a guy who studies nothing but aluminium. He's a scientist in England, and he gave a lecture. He said there's a water product. It's a mineral water product called Volvic, V-O-L-V-I-C. It's kind of pricey, of course, but he said a protocol of 5 days, 1.5 liters a day of that will get the aluminium toxicity out of your brain cells and nervous system, which it tends to reside in, and also the heart. But anyway, he recommended that. He said he had success with people in England who were having autistic spectrum disorders, the kids, after receiving vaccinations, and he said it worked. So that's something that Whole Foods carries it, I know. I don't know who else carries it, but it's called Volvic, V-O-L-V-I-C.
May I ask you, please, all the things that you mentioned during this interview, if you would embellish the comment area beneath, if the listening audience, if you'll scroll down to the comment area, and if you will, Paul Sassa, if you will go scroll down as well, and add links that people can further research everything that you're mentioning, that would really be helpful to the listener so that they can continue to learn after this interview.
Well, I'd be happy to do that. How do I access that section?
Oh, I'll send you the link to the show, and then you just scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you'll see comments.
Okay.
What I do very often is I go back through a show, and then I add all the links that I was discussing during the show so that people can, you know, find out more about each thing we discussed. So likewise, if you would be kind enough to add links that you're referring to in the comment area, people know to scroll there and to learn more.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. I'd appreciate it. But I hear you talking about, I think you are a follower of Dr. Guy Langtat, are you not?
Well, I'm not a follower, but I'm aware of her. I'm aware of her writings. Yes, yeah. She's actually the one who coined the phrase "medical mafia," as far as I know.
Right, but not that so much as what you were embarking on, and I might have interrupted you, but was you are the ultimate authority. You are the authority. This is something that when I interviewed her, I thought, you know, this interview has so much more importance than just medicine. This is a lecture of a lifetime in the fact that we are not to capitulate to anyone, you know, that we are the ultimate authority. And
yes.
So when you said both medical mafia and authority, I thought, well, if he's echoing someone I admire, there's so many good reasons to admire this woman.
She had her medical license stripped because she was very outspoken against vaccinations. And
it wasn't just that. This is what's so fascinating, because I didn't find this out in the interview. I found it out by talking to her later. She ran medical, she had, what do you call those clinics, medical clinics all across Canada. And she took on the entire medical industry, from the insurance companies to, I don't know, the medical supplies to whatever. She took on the entire industry. And she said, I had no idea at the time how important vaccines were, how much worse they were than everything else, because even though I'm taking on the entire industry, the only thing they care about is vaccines. That's
yeah.
the only thing. That was their biggest agenda, and that is what sunk me. Even though I was outing everything within the industry itself. And that, she said, I had no idea how important they were until I found that, in fact, that is why I was on trial. Challenging that was not to be bored.
Yeah, that's the big taboo, because the vaccine industry is able to push off vaccines to governments to buy them all over the place. And, you know, it's easy money. And the overhead for vaccines is developing them and manufacturing them is not so great. And they have all kinds of little ways of avoiding liability. As you know, they have the court system here, the special vaccine court system, which basically has the taxpayers pay, and so they basically have a good deal. You know, when they have a drug, when they put out a drug that causes damage, serious damage, after a few years, and class action suits develop, and maybe even local or national agencies get on their case, They shell out some bucks, a few million dollars, and it's just, okay, that's their overhead. But they don't get stung at all with vaccines. They're basically above, they're beyond attack or liability or culpability for vaccination damages. And they get the governments to buy them, and then that's why the governments keep pushing them. So it's a big money operation. There's no doubt about it. And then these jerks that develop, they have patents, and you know, like Paul Offit, for example, you know, Mr. 10,000 vaccines for your baby. It's not going to hurt him. It's interesting and kind of frightening. What more is frightening is that they're developing right now, as we speak, a system. It's called the registry system. This was on Vactruth, came out recently, 26th of 2013. You might want to check that, because now they're going to...
Are we talking about the police state registry?
You got it. That's it. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I posted that everywhere today, because I was interviewing some libertarians earlier, and I thought, well, how would you like to pull up to a checkpoint, have the cops know your entire vaccine history, and perhaps have ready in their trunk what you haven't yet had?
Right.
This is
right.
about the population. I wish it were just about greed. I genuinely do. A vaccination, the one reason I can say don't take away people's guns is the minute you do, the vaccines come out. You know, I'm not worried about guns. I'm worried about vaccines.
Well, ditto, same here. And as a matter of fact, you know, I'm 70 now, and if I ever have to turn myself in for any reason to Obamacare, which I will avoid down to the last possible ways of avoiding, they would probably say, oh, look, we can't do anything for you because you haven't been vaccinated for this and that and this and that, and here they come with their needles. No, forget it. I'm not going to go. It's a very scary situation. It's Big Brother vaccinating people. Yeah, it is more than greed, though. It is, you know, even...
know what I want your next article to be about, because it needs to be written, the Nuremberg Code and how vastly vaccines... It goes against everything in the Nuremberg Code. A friend of mine, Alan Greaves, sent me the Nuremberg Code. Now, I've heard about it, but I read it, and I thought, what about vaccines is not the polar opposite, you know?
Yes, right.
So please look that up in Wikipedia and do an article about it, because I think that it needs to be outed in the most – it is just a violation of every tenet of the Nuremberg Code.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it's also – so it's a mass water fluoridation as well. And basically, it's all part of the soft kill, really, and the depopulation effort and making money as they do what they do. And people are foolish enough to go along, you know, lockstep and think that this is what's right for them. And when it's not, it's – most people just don't want to hear it, unfortunately, Sally. It's difficult, but very difficult.
Well, there was an interview between Dr. Carley and Dr. Rebecca Carley and Jennifer Daniels, and Jennifer Daniels had her license removed for healing people.
Exactly.
She was healing people of diabetes, so
yep.
Her license was taken away. But she was in every single aspect of the medical industry. She was admitted to the medical school, and something she said in the actual test, they give you questions that see if you will go along with their nefarious plot, basically. They are looking for the answers to specific questions to see if you will fit in with this entire criminal enterprise. And I think that's fascinating. And so she learned that there, and then she learned, you know, all about the fact that things aren't healing and how to heal people, but we've been down that road. But she had a Harvard medical degree, okay? And then
wow.
She went to Wharton Business School, so she sat in on the business meetings. And by God, check this out. She said, basically, when somebody checks into a hospital, that's worth about $12,000 to the hospital. But if they die, the body's worth $45,000 to the morgue.
Wow. That's
the
weird.
Deal with that? See, to me, that was the whole interview. I was like, what did you say? First of all, you think organ harvesting, right? But we've always been told that an organ is not useful unless it's minutes, you know.
Yeah,
minutes of death or something. So
right.
I don't really know why a morgue would pay $45,000 for a body, but I do know I'm interested to
That's
find
weird.
Out why.
Yeah, that is weird. Very weird. Anyway, that's it. That's the medical mafia. And unfortunately, people who try to do the right thing wind up getting, you know, it's like witch hunts, you know. They wind up getting crucified, thrown out of the business, or worse. And, you know, the fact that people are dying like crazy from medical treatment means nothing, because they have their sense of standard of care. And as long as, which is nothing more than a consensus of what should be done in the medical industry by the medical profession. And if they do that, they're exempt. You know, if a person
right,
dies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely.
So,
that is such. Well, there's your Hippocratic oath right there, the standard of care.
Right.
But, Paul Sassa, I would like you to say a few words in closing, because I'm about to lose you now.
Okay. Well, I have nothing much to say except you know, listen to shows like Sally. Sally's on the right track with just about everything having to do with not only the medicine, but other aspects as well. Read Natural News. You might want to check out my blog. I'll put those links at the bottom on this, in the comments section, like you said, after I get your link. And basically realize that you have to take responsibility for your own health to the best of your ability. And